enjoying just down here hearing some truth from the Bible this morning, speaking about Jesus Christ, his love for us, the grace that God desires to give to us. Grace is a gift. You don't have to earn it by being good or being religious or something like that, but you just have to believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. The Bible says in John 3:16, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Very sadly today, most people are walking away from the God that's reaching out to them in love, desiring to share with them his desire to work in their hearts, work in their lives, give them the hope and the peace that they can't get from drugs, drink, alcohol, immorality, or things like that. People are seeking a satisfaction in the wrong places. But there is satisfaction today found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ, the Bible says, is the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by him. It's not by a religion that somebody goes to heaven. There are many religions, and I had a minister of a church tell me yesterday that, you know, all faiths are equal and this and that, but that's not true according to the Word of God. There's an exclusivity to Jesus Christ. He is the way. He's not a way. He's not a good way. He is the only way of salvation. And friends, today, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, you don't have what you need when you stand before God. The Bible says, "He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath not life. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have everlasting life." Do you know beyond a shadow of a doubt today that if you were to die, that you'd go to heaven? Not because of your goodness, not because of your works, because the Bible says, "By the works of the law, there shall no flesh be justified in his sight." Anybody that stood before God and said, "God, I'm a good person, and therefore you should let me into heaven," all God would have to do is say, "Law, come here. Tell me about this person. Have they ever lied? Have they ever coveted? Have they ever lusted? Are they materialistic? Do they worship anywhere other than at my throne? Do they honor me on the Lord's day?" And all the law will do on that day is condemn us. And the Bible says in Romans 6:23, it says, "For the wages of sin is death." The punishment for our transgression against God is death, but it's not just physical death, it's eternity in the lake of fire. The Bible says that whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. God doesn't want you to go there. That's why he sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for your sin. Death is the punishment for our sin. Jesus Christ, in dying, did not die for his transgressions because he was a righteous man. The Bible says, "He that knew no sin became sin for us, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him." If you've ever read about the cross, you've read about the eclipse that took place as God the Father turned his back on God the Son. And the Son of God there on the cross, he cried out these words. He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me?" Jesus Christ suffered the God-forsakenness of the cross for you and for me because somebody in hell is forsaken by God for all eternity. Again, friend, God doesn't want you to go there. That's why he made a way through his Son. Jesus Christ is a substitute. Jesus Christ is one that stepped into that courtroom in the throne of heaven and said, "Dear God, I care so much about that person. I don't want them to go die, to go to hell. Father, could I die for them?" And the Father said, "That was my plan." And the Son of God came. He lived a sinless life on this sin-cursed earth for us so that we could be given God's gift of righteousness through the Son of God's death on the cross for us. Well, very sadly today, it's what the Bible speaks about. It says, "All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned everyone to his own way, and the Lord hath laid on him, Jesus Christ, the iniquity of us all." Scarcely for a righteous man would one die, but God commended, God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Jesus Christ didn't die for religious people. Jesus Christ didn't die for so-called good people. Jesus Christ died for sinners like you and like me. The Bible says, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." It says, "There is none righteous, no, not one." It doesn't matter today if somebody's a really nice person or a really kind person. That doesn't do anything to get rid of our sin or the punishment of our sin. The Bible says, "Though thou wash thee with nitre and take thee much soap, yet thine iniquity is marked before me, saith the Lord." It says, all our righteousnesses are as unclean rags because God, when he looks at us, doesn't see all the goodness because the badness is so bad. But the Bible says this, it says, "Come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool." Friend, I can tell you today, it doesn't matter what you've done in your life. You might think, Then if I were to walk into a church, lightning would strike or something like that. I understand that sense of ungodliness that is in the hearts of so many people, but I'll tell you this, there's a God in heaven that has the power to cleanse you of your sin. Again, the Word of God says, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. It doesn't matter today if somebody's a prostitute. It doesn't matter today if they're a drug addict. It doesn't matter if they're a drunkard. It doesn't matter if they're a gambler and they've wasted their living. It doesn't matter how much they have sinned against God. If they'll repent of their sin and put their faith in the Son of Jesus Christ, God stands ready to forgive them of their sin and to give them His gift of everlasting life. Oh, the love of God, the grace of God, the goodness of God. People today, they despise God. Very sadly today, the young people in our families are not growing up being taught about God, not being taught about the truth of God, about the law of God, about the Word of God, about the grace of God. Very sadly today, what our young people are hearing about God is what they hear at a sports stadium, and that is the blaspheming of the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, the blaspheming of the name of God. They only hear about God as a curse word in our day. It's a blight on our society. We ought to be ashamed as adults that we haven't done better to educate our children and the next generation in the truth of the Word of God. And very sadly today, so many adults don't know about the goodness of God. They don't know about the grace of God. They don't know about the justice of God. They think if there is a God, God's going to accept me. God cannot accept sin. Sin is the very thing that put Jesus Christ on the cross. You might wonder today, Ben, who killed the Son of God, Jesus Christ? Was it Pilate? Was it Judas? Was it the Romans? Was it the Jews? Who was it that killed Jesus Christ? I'll tell you, my friend, it was us that killed the Son of God, Jesus Christ. It was our sin that put Him on that cross of shame and pain and suffering and all the ungodliness that went upon Him there on the cross as the sin of the world was placed upon Him. But I'll tell you this, it was the love of God that held Jesus Christ there. Jesus Christ looked out as they crucified Him, they mocked Him, they cursed Him. He said these words, He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. You know, I understand today, if you have no idea who God is, you have no idea what the Son of God did for you. I understand today you may never think about God, but that does not make God disappear. A lot of people today say, Ben, you believe in God, therefore God exists for you. I don't believe in God, therefore God does not exist for me. I'll tell you this, gravity can't be seen, but if you stand at the crags and on those cliff faces, you stand there, you say, I don't believe in gravity, I don't believe in gravity, and you step off to the crags, you'll find out what is true. I'll tell you this, when you enter into eternity, you're going to find out that there is a God. You may not see Him, and you may think, I don't believe in Him today, but I'll tell you this, there is a God to whom every man must give an account. The Bible says it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. Friend, are you ready to die and to stand before God? There's a lot of fun things in life, and I understand today you want to see Edinburgh, you want to do some fun things, and your days and your plans are made, but I'll tell you this, don't neglect to spend time in the Word of God. Don't neglect to find out the truth about God, because those that die without Jesus Christ are cast into a lake of fire for all eternity. Hell was created for the devil and his angels. It wasn't even created for mankind. Mankind was, in our creation, was perfect and pure and righteous as God put Adam and Eve there in the Garden of Eden. But God gave Adam and Eve a will. And very sadly, Adam and Eve exercised that will against the holy God. God said, you can have of every tree in the garden, thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat of it. The day that thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. You can blame Adam and Eve today and say, well, they sinned and they wrecked the whole thing, and they did. And I'll tell you this, death, sorrow, sickness, and all those things that people blame God for and say, if there is a God, it wouldn't be like this. I'll tell you this, it is like this not because of God, it is like this because of man. It is like this because of our sin, because we brought death, sorrow, sickness into this creation when we transgressed God's holy law. And friend, we continue to do that. Nobody makes you drink and get drunk. Nobody makes you look at pornography. Nobody makes you swear. Nobody makes you ungodly. All the gross sin that is in our hearts, but it is our choice and it is our rebellion against the holy God. And in a nation that was once a godly nation, where we have Bible names that men carry, names like Paul and Timothy and John and Luke and Mark and Matthew and Mary. These are Bible names because this nation used to be a Bible nation, but this nation has turned its back on a holy God. We ought to look around and be ashamed at the nakedness of our sin in the sight of a holy God as we parade that down the streets. We take the rainbow, the symbol that God gave to man to say to us that he will look on that rainbow and he'll not destroy again this world with a flood. And men have taken their sin and they've taken God's symbol of his mercy and of his grace and they wave it in the face of God as a banner for their ungodliness. Again, we ought to be ashamed as a nation. We ought to be ashamed as a nation that can't understand basic truth about life and protect those that are in the womb, that don't have a choice about their life because it's taken from them. We ought to care about them. We ought to care about today that marriage is under attack, that God designed it. He created us male and female. He said, therefore shall a man leave his father and mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall two be one flesh. God did not ordain fornication and sexual sin and people sharing a bed that haven't entered into a covenant relationship before God of marriage, because the Bible says marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. We live in a fornicating society. A society that watches sex on the TV, that watches sex on the internet, that boasts about the ungodliness that is there in their hearts and their life. They're not ashamed of their sin. They're ashamed of a righteous God. What a gross world we live in that could blush to speak the name of God in a holy way, that could blush to pick up a Bible, that could blush to go to a church, but is unashamed of the deep ungodliness that is in their heart. Over a day where a nation would wake up and look up to a holy God and understand that there is wrath against this world because there is unrighteousness in this world like never before. Men have joined hand to hand against God. And the Bible says, though hand joined to hand, the wicked shall not be unpunished. It doesn't matter today if the parliament, it doesn't matter if the social media, it doesn't matter if the so-called scientists join their hands together today to say there is no God and man can do whatever they want to do. There's still a holy God in heaven to which every single one of us is going to give an account. Friend, are you ready to stand before that God? Again, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after that, the judgment. You don't get a do-over. Nobody gets to go to their funeral, get up out of that casket, stand up and say, you know, I'd really like to go back to life and live my life in the fear of God. I'd really like to begin to teach my children about Jesus Christ and his love for them, such great love that he went to a cross and he died on the cross for their sin, that could get up out of that casket and say, I want to reach my family that are going to die and go to the devil's hell just like me, and where I am sent for all eternity, there's no coming back. Friend, are you ready for that day? Again, I tell you today that there's a God in heaven that loves you. John 3:16 says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Well, it's amazing today if I said to you, in Princess Street Garden, there's a million pounds, it's buried there. I know it's there. Here's a map. Go get it. It doesn't matter what obstacles you face in your way. You do everything in your power to get down there to dig up that treasure. I tell you today, there's a treasure in the Word of God. There's a treasure in this book. You're not going to stand before a God someday and say, oh God, I didn't have a chance. I never knew. I was ignorant. You can't plead ignorance with God. God has given us a book that speaks about him. In the book of John, it says, but these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. God desires to give you life, but you're choosing death. You're choosing sin, you're choosing immorality, you're choosing ungodliness, you're choosing to live a life that is profane and against God instead of the abundant life that God desires to give you. And you look at your life and you say, I don't get it. Why is it not working? Why am I depressed? Why am I discouraged? Why don't I have hope? I might look like I have hope. I might put on a good face, but in my heart of hearts, my sin condemns me. The ungodliness of my life depresses me. I can't find satisfaction in the bottle. I can't find satisfaction in the gambling. I can't find satisfaction in the immorality. I'll tell you this, friend, satisfaction is found in Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the water of life. Jesus Christ is the one that if you come, the Bible says, taste, and you'll see that the Lord is good. A lot of people today say, Ben, I don't believe in your God. I don't believe that apple really exists that you're eating of, that you say and talk about and say, you know, Jesus Christ satisfies and God is good. I don't believe in that. I'll tell you this, that doesn't faze me at all, because I've tasted and seen that the Lord is good. I've had my sin forgiven. I've received God's gift of everlasting life. And anybody that's been born again and received God's gift will tell you today, look, I was like you. I didn't believe in God. I thought drugs, drink, like pleasing my mates, I thought that was what life was all about. But they would stand and they would say to you, but then I found Jesus Christ, and Christ has changed my life. The Bible says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. All things are become new. God wants to change your life. Not for the worse. Some people think, man, if I get saved, if I come to faith in God, life's going to be boring. No, life's going to be everything that God intends it to be. You're trying to put life together without the manual. That doesn't work. It doesn't work today just to shack up with somebody and think that's a relationship that God ever intended. God intended marriage. Marriage gives security to your children. Ask the kids. Ask them how they feel about a mom and dad that are just living together and have not covenanted together in a relationship that is a till death do us part relationship. Ask them what it feels about with a parent divorce when they break apart. Contrary to what God says in His Word, God never intended divorce. All those things hurt. Ask the person that aborted a baby if they've ever had guilt, if they've ever been troubled in their soul, if they've ever been bothered. And then think about this nation. This nation is telling people, continue in your sin, embrace your sin. And it's the very thing that is destroying the hearts of our young people. It's the very thing wrecking marriages, wrecking relationships, wrecking families, wrecking wealth, wrecking health. But there's a God in heaven that is reaching down in love and saying, friend, I'll help you if you take it. He's reaching out, desiring to give you His gift of everlasting life. Oh, friend, Jesus is the way. Jesus is the truth. Jesus is the life. You don't know what life's about today unless you have the abundant life that God desires to give you. A lot of people at their funeral, they want to have Psalm 23 read at their funeral. If you know that psalm, it's a precious psalm. It says, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. It was read at the Queen's funeral, and it's a great text, but I'll tell you this. The Lord is not your shepherd if you're walking in ungodliness. The Bible says about Jesus, He leads me in the path of righteousness for His name's sake. If you can't claim that you've got God, you can't claim that you've got Jesus Christ, if you're living in sin and you're living a life that is against God, because God is not in that. God does not contradict Himself. So many people today would say to me, Ben, there's all these religions that are in the world. How do I know what religion is the true religion? Well, the Bible says, try the spirits, whether they be of God. You got a lot of people standing up and saying different things about God. I challenge you to do this. Take the Bible and see what God says in His Word. Anybody that rejects the truth of this book and professes it before others is a false prophet. You got churches today, like the Church of Scotland, that have come out, and the Anglicans that have come out, and others that have come out in favor of homosexuality and lesbianism and transgenderism. I'll tell you, this book is very clear about marriage being between one man and one woman, that sex is not to be outside of marriage, but that is fornication, and that relationship is reserved between a man and a woman in a marriage. That's what the Word of God says. If you ever hear anybody stand up and say, well, the Bible says something else, understand this, they're a false prophet. How do you know that? Because anybody that knows anything knows that this book condemns sexual sin. This book also condemns taking the life of a child. The Bible says, thou shalt not murder. Life does not begin at birth. And it's very sad to me. I've heard some young people that are saying life begins at birth. Life begins at conception. You can look multidimensionally into the womb and see the smile on the face of that child, see the hands of that child, see the heartbeat of that child. And there are people today say, I believe science, therefore I reject God. But they reject science when science says there's life in the womb. They reject science when they say there's male and there's female. They reject science when it says what marriage ought to be is between a man and a woman in a covenant relationship. Very sadly today, we're deceiving ourselves. We're talking out of both sides of our mouth, trying to say one thing and say another. Let's be honest about it. The best way to be honest is to look in the mirror of the Word of God, and to say, what does God say about life? What does God say about marriage? What does God say about eternity? And again today, salvation is not found in a religion. It's not found in any one of the religions that you could name. Salvation is not in a religion. Salvation is in a person. That person is Jesus Christ. Friend, today, if you don't have Jesus Christ as your Savior, without Christ, you will not enter into glory. Without Christ, you'll have no advocate when you stand before God the Father. There will be nobody for you when you stand before the Lord Jesus Christ at the great white throne judgment as He looks at you. You can try to say, I did all these good things, and I did even some good things in your name. But if you don't know Jesus Christ as your personal Lord and Savior, very sadly today, the words that you hear on that day is, depart from me, be cursed into everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. God doesn't want you to go to hell. God doesn't want you to die in your sin. God doesn't want you to continue in your sin. Your sin is destroying you. I asked some young people, I said to them, name one sin that is good for you. A girl said, well, stealing, you know, from the rich, giving to the poor, like Robin Hood. I said, I kind of reached out to take her necklace, and she didn't think that was a good idea. You know why? Because sin hurts. Every sin that you've ever committed hurts you, hurts your relationship with God, hurts your marriage, hurts your family, hurts those that you care about. Gambling is destroying men's lives. A lot of people today passing this place are in debt. They're in debt because they think they're going to somehow win big, and they're putting all the money they could possibly get, maybe embezzling, maybe stealing, so they could satisfy that desire and get ahead or even get back what they've lost. But they've been sucked down into the pit of thinking that money satisfies. The Bible says the love of money is the root of all evil. It's going to be the thing that destroys your family, destroys your relationship. We've got the government promoting lottery in our day and putting it out on the telly and putting it out in other places. We've got even young people today that are getting into gambling, and it is sin, and it destroys. Young people today getting into drink. And we got the pubs here in Scotland, and whiskey is our big export. We make a lot of money on drink and things like that. And it destroys families. It destroys men. It destroys women. It destroys children. It destroys relationships. And we don't care. If there's COVID, we'll shut down the world. If there's COVID, we'll say, everybody stay in your house, wear a mask. You got a social distance. But we don't care that the pubs, when they let out, are letting people out on our streets that are drunkards, that are defiling. And if you lived outside a pub, as I did for 5 years, and you saw what came out of that place when that place closed, we ought to be embarrassed as a society to see the sin destroying us that we do nothing about. But there's a God that cares about us. There's a God that sent His Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for our sin, that so that you and I could be forgiven, so that we could receive God's gift of everlasting life. Well, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Has there ever been a time when you humbled your heart before God and said something like this? Dear God, I'm a sinner, but your Son, Jesus, died for me. God, I repent of my sin. I turn away from that lifestyle that was against you. Oh God, forgive me for that. God, give me your gift of everlasting life. Friend, it's not hard to come to faith. It's humbling to come to faith. It's your pride that's keeping you. You might think, well, Ben, you don't understand. If I went to church, if I picked up a Bible, my mates are going to make fun of me, so to me, if they make fun of me, they're going to mock me and all these things. But I'll just tell you this. You know, your friends are the ones that encourage you to drink. They encourage you to do drugs. They encourage you to do immorality. I would just say, maybe you need some better friends. Maybe you need some people that actually care about your soul, actually care about where you're going to spend eternity, that would look at you and say, hey, you want to learn the Bible? You want to learn about God? I think that's great, and I encourage you in that. That's the kind of friends that's a true friend. Somebody that actually cares about the soul of somebody that's going to die and go to hell. He cares enough to say, look, I love you so much. I want you to find out about God. I want you to find out about Jesus Christ. Don't let the fear of man take you to hell. The fear of man bringeth a snare. But whoso putteth his trust in the Lord shall be saved. God desires to give you safety. Safety is not your mates backing you up. It's not all those people patting you on the back because you drink and you do drugs and you're immoral and just like them and your profanity and things like that. What kind of friends are those? God, help us to have friends that would encourage us to pick up a Bible, begin to learn about God, begin to understand that there is a way to build a good family. There is a way to raise godly children, God-fearing children. There is a way to honor God and to have the satisfaction in life that you can get because you're not having a hangover, because you're not in debt because of your sin, because you're not waking up immoral because of your sin, because your heart's been cleansed by the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ, and God has given you that gift that God desires to give you. Well, friend, do you have Jesus Christ as your Savior? God desires you to have that. Again, John 3:16, that precious text, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. God doesn't want you to die and go to hell. People say, you know, I kind of want to live forever. We got guys like those billionaires that are on million-pound diets, you know, and things like that, trying to get everlasting life. Look, it's not going to happen. The Bible says if you get 70 years, that's pretty good. If you get 80, okay, but it's with sorrow and heartache. And maybe sometimes people would say to you, Dan, if this life was eternal, I don't want it. I'm sick of this life. Well, I'll tell you this. This life is not what heaven is like. This life is tainted by sin. Death, sorrow, sickness, all those things, they're not in heaven. They're not there. The Bible says about heaven, I go to prepare a place for you that where I am, there you may be also. Where God is a place that is sinless and pure, where the Bible says he's going to wipe away all tears from your eyes. There's going to be no sorrow there. There's going to be no death there. How do you get there? You get there through the Son of God, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for your sin. Again, the Bible says about Jesus that he came to seek and to save that which was lost. Friend, I'll tell you, you're lost today if you're walking through life stumbling around in the dark and banging into different habits or different things that hurt you and break you and bring the sorrow and heartache into your life. But I'll tell you this, when you have the light of light and the Word of God illuminating your path, and the Bible says about this book, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. God is able to direct us. God is able to guide us. God wants to help us. But again, so many mock God instead of looking at God and saying, God, I never understand. I don't understand how you can love me, how you can care about me. I've blasphemed you. I've cursed you. I've lived a life that is against you. But friend, I just encourage you today, God is not against you, but God is for you. But you've got to come to God on God's terms. It is not true today, though many say it, that God accepts you. God does not accept you, because what people mean by that is that God accepts your sin. God does not accept your sin. Your sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. My sin put Jesus Christ on the cross. God does not accept sin, but God made a way to cleanse us of our sin if we'll repent of it and put our faith in the Son of God. Again, God said, come now, and let us reason together, saith the Lord. Though your sins be as scarlet, if they're a bad stain, like a red stain on a white garment, hey, though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. God desires to cleanse that, take it away, so that the guilt that's there, the burden that's there, is gone, so that you have a light heart, a forgiven heart, a cleansed heart through the power of the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. I praise God today. The Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me, and forbid them not, for of such is the kingdom of God. And God desires our kids today to grow up understanding that there is a God that loves them, that sent his Son, Jesus Christ, to die on the cross for their sin, that made a way for them to have hope in life, and have peace in their heart, and to know Jesus Christ, the Prince of Peace.
Yeah.
God desires to give that. God wants you to have that. Oh, friend, is there peace in your heart? Could you honestly say that you're finding peace in life? The Bible says there is no peace set by God to the wicked. And the reason is our conscience condemns us. Our conscience says you shouldn't apply, you shouldn't curse, you shouldn't look at ungodliness, you shouldn't participate in those things of maybe violence or things like that. And those things hurt our heart, hurt our relationship with God. But God made a way through His Son, Jesus Christ, to give us His gift of everlasting life. And I'll tell you this, that life is in His Son. When somebody receives Jesus Christ as their Savior, God moves in. You might say, Ben, I don't believe in that. Well, I just encourage you, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Just see that opportunity that God gave you when a friend reached out and said, hey, I just want you to know God loves you and I'm praying for you and I'm thinking about you. You began to see that prayer makes a difference because there's a God that makes a difference. You begin to see that all this beauty that we behold in this world is not something that an explosion made or random chance made, and that the minutiae that you see under a microscope or the grandeur that you see through a telescope is something that was put there by God to testify that He exists. God begins to bring you to faith, and then you pick up a Bible and you begin to read it. And you begin to understand more about God and God's creation and God's justice and God's holiness and God's righteousness and God's love. And what God did is He took His Son and put Him on the cross for our sin, when He made a way for us to be forgiven. Well, friend, do you know Jesus Christ as your Savior? Could you say today, Ben, beyond a shadow of a doubt, I know if I died, I'd go to heaven. It's not because I'm a good person, but it's because I personally put my faith in Jesus Christ, and this is when I got saved. Friend, you ought to have a know-so salvation, a think-so salvation is not good when you stand before God. A hope-so salvation is not good when you stand before God. What you need in life is, I know that I'm saved. You know that your Redeemer liveth today, that you shall stand with Him someday in glory. The great man of God, Job, knew that, a righteous man, a man that was a God-fearing man. He knew beyond a shadow of a doubt that if he died, he'd go to heaven. I can tell you today, friend, I know for sure that if I died, I'm going to heaven. It's not because I'm a good person. It's not because I'm married. It's not because I'm a preacher or a pastor. It's not because I grew up in a Christian family. It's because there was a time where God spoke to my heart about hell, that the fire is eternal, separation from God, that the punishment for my sin was hell. And I realized I was going there, and I looked at the cross and saw what the Son of God, Jesus Christ, did as He died on the cross for my sin. And I went down to my dad's study, and I prayed with my dad, and I asked Jesus Christ to come into my heart and to save me, to give me His gift of everlasting life. Friend, that was 43 years ago. But that memory is the most vivid early memory I have as a child, because God anchored it in my heart. And I can tell you today, I know beyond a shadow of a doubt that if I died, I'd go to heaven. Friend, do you have that? That's what God wants you to have. God wants you to have wonderful things in life, maybe a good family, a good job, or the good weather, and things like that. There's many blessings in life. And I'll tell you this, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights. It's all of God's goodness to us today. But I'll tell you this, the greatest gift that God desires to give you is the gift of His Son, Jesus Christ, that died on the cross for your sin. Friend, He stands ready. All you have to do with the gift is take it. All you have to do is come to God on His terms. Friend, His terms are confess your sin, forsake your sin, receive Jesus Christ, believing in the Son of God, what Jesus Christ did as He died on the cross for your sin, understanding that He didn't stay in the grave, but that He rose from the dead. Embrace the God that sent His Son to die on the cross for you. Oh, friend, have you ever done that? Has there ever been a time where you took God's gift? Again, the Bible says, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of light. You might think, well, Ben, I'm just an atheist. No big deal. I'll tell you this. An atheist is someone that never thanks God for their food, never thanks God for their family, never thanks God for their job, never thanks God for anything that God has given to them. What an ingrate. Doesn't thank God for creating them. Doesn't thank God for designing them. doesn't bow the knee before the God that is the God of heaven. Friend, an atheist is a great sinner against the holy God. And when you stand before God, you're not going to be able to maybe look him in the face, but you're going to be on your knees before a holy God, because the Bible says every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. It's better to bow the knee in life than to bow the knee in hell. It's better to bow the knee now and receive God's mercy than to bow the knee then and to receive God's judgment. Friend, I pray that you trust Christ as your Savior. I pray that you look at the cross and understand that the Son of God loved you so much that he died for you. You can't curse God on that day that you're cast into hell. You can't blame God on the day that you're cast into hell and say, I never knew, I never had opportunity. Every breath that you breathe is a God-given breath. Every day that you live is a God-given day. I challenge you, take those days, take those breaths, and find out the truth about God. Don't die in your sin. Don't die ungodly. Don't die away from God. Friend, receive Jesus Christ. Father, I pray that the Spirit of God would awaken the hearts of the dear people of Edinburgh. I praise you for the power of the Word. Some people might think, well, it's a waste of your breath to speak about the love of God, the grace of God, the mercy of God, the judgment of God, or anything like that. But I praise you today, it's not wasted. Father, your Word doesn't return void. Your Word has the power to change men's lives, and I praise you for that. And I pray, oh God, for this city. I pray for the mercy of God. I pray for the mercy of God that of those that curse God and hate God and blaspheme God. I pray, oh God, give them greater time to come to faith in Jesus Christ and receive your gift of everlasting life. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. I'm just down here sharing some truth from the Bible this morning. Speaking about Jesus Christ, his love for us, what God did when he sent his Son to die on the cross for us. Friends, you might not have grown up in church or ever maybe thought that much about God. I used to be surprised by that. I guess I grew up in a Christian home, and you know, I was raised around the truth of the Word of God, and I thank God for that. But there's many people that were in a similar position maybe to you today, where they weren't going to church, and there's people in my church like that, and I thank God that God has reached them. And you know, they're in their 60s or in their 50s, and they tell you 2 years ago, I didn't know anything about God, and I didn't know anything about the Bible, but by the grace of God, there's something awoke in their heart. You know, and many times you've seen young people in their 20s that have begun to think about God, begin to consider what God says. A lot of people today are looking at the wokeism, they're looking at the gay pride flag that's on our children's schools, and even people that don't believe in God are kind of going, what's going on? How did we get here? How did we get to a place where there is such ungodliness in our nation? We're teaching sexual perversion to our children in our schools and teaching them ungodliness instead of teaching them to live a moral life, to live a pure life, to guard their virginity and to save that from marriage and what marriage is all about. That it's one man, it's one woman in a covenant relationship before God, saying, I do until death do us part, and honoring that. And very sadly today, our society honors the things that are sinful and wicked, and they parade those things down our streets, but we don't celebrate somebody that has 55 years of marriage or 60 years of marriage and say to our kids, that's what an example is. That is a good thing. That is something that is honorable. We live in a backward society that is calling good evil and is calling evil good. And friend, I praise God that many people are looking at that today and beginning to go, you know, life is upside down. Why is it that somebody that believes in God, we mock them, we laugh at them, we treat them like, you know, they treated Jesus Christ when they crucified him. But if somebody's a great sinner, we pat them on the back and we put our arms around them and say, hey, this is great and this is honorable, and lift that up in the eyes of our kids. We ought to look at that and say, you know, something is wrong in our society. Something is wrong in our families. something is wrong in our nation when our nation can be so ungodly. And we look at that and we laugh at that and we make our boast about that instead of being humbled in our hearts and going, dear God, how have we gotten to a place where there's such rebellion against God that we are questioning whether a little boy is a boy, whether a little girl is a girl, whether marriage is between a man and a woman or something else like that. How have we gotten so far away from a basic understanding about life? Friend, the way we've gotten there, we've turned our backs on the Bible. We turned our backs on the manual, what God gave to us to speak to us about how to build a good family, how to build a good relationship, how to be a good father, how to be a good mother, how to raise children in the fear of God. We've got a government that has said you can't discipline your children. The Bible says he that spared the rod spoiled his son. The Bible says if you don't chasten your child, you hate them. And the reason you do is because you're not doing what you should do as a parent to correct them and get them into obedience before God and for the sake of society. Well, friend, we don't do our children any service today by saying you're okay, you know, watch all you want to watch on the telly, on the internet, on your device. That's fine. Listen, our children are being sexualized by the ungodliness that is there on their devices. They're being oppressed by the social media and the things, the peer pressure that they're facing on social media. Where are some parents that will look at that and say, you know what? It's time to take away some devices. It's time to maybe as a family pick up a Bible and begin to read it, begin to think about God, and begin to think about God's law and why it's important that we believe God's law and understand God's law. Friend, he's the creator, he's the designer. I've said before, and I like to say, I don't go to IKEA. Our church is right by IKEA. I don't go to IKEA and buy anything and put it together without the instruction. I don't think you do either. Anybody that tries to do that, I mean, I don't know what you'd end up with, but it wouldn't look good, it wouldn't work, and it wouldn't be right. I'll tell you today, if you're putting your life together without this manual, your life doesn't work. You might feel like it's okay, but you don't have a great relationship if you're not married. You don't have a covenant there. You ought to rightly doubt the sexual purity of the person that you're sharing a bed with, because if they'll violate the law to be in a bed with you, they'll violate that law to be in the bed with somebody else. Why won't men man up and say to a woman, will you marry me? It's because they want the liberty, they want the freedom of departing at any time they choose because they refuse to commit to that relationship. Friend, sin only hurts. Sin is a thing that's destroying our society. And again, that's where we look at the Word of God and say, well, let's get back to the manual. We want to have a strong family and raise good kids. What does God say? Well, God says marriage is between a man and a woman, so that the children could look up and say, Mom and Dad love each other. They've covenanted together to say, we're going to stay married, we're going to be married. Listen, divorce isn't any better than fornication. It's both are against God, and so marriage is a thing that God intends. But all I'm saying today is, where's a society that will look at what we're promoting and realize we're hurting the family? Realize that we're hurting our children. Realize that we need to be a generation that speaks up, because our society is going so quickly to hell that we're grabbing hold of the ungodliness of the minority that are waving their banner of sexual sin and gross idolatry against God, and we're bowing down to that fear of what they think rather than what the God of heaven thinks. Where are some people today that would look up and say, you know what, I kind of care what God thinks. God's the one that gives me my breath. God's the one that gave me my family. God's the one that gives me my job. He's given me my food. He's given me everything. I stand in fear of God. The Bible says the fear of God is the beginning of wisdom. The Bible also says the fool has said in his heart, there is no God. The fool is the person that looks at the God of heaven that designed us, looks at his son that died on the cross for their sin, looks at that and says, I despise that. I reject that. Why is that so foolish? Because God is reaching down and saying, I'll save you from your sin. I'll set you free from the ungodliness that's destroying your life. I'll give you sonship. I'll bring you into my family. I'll give you my gift of everlasting life. The fool is somebody that spits at that God. Well, friend, is that you today? Turning your back on the holy God that's reaching out to you in love and trying to convince you in your heart that he's there, that he desires to help you and desires to meet your need. Very sadly today, people will pass this preaching point and they're going to pass in their hearts. They've got suicidal thoughts and things that are there in their heart as they are contemplating taking their own life because they're hopeless. They tried hope in drink, they tried hope in drugs, they tried hope in relationships, they tried hope in psychology, and it's empty. Friend, I'll tell you today, there's a God that can meet that need. I know a man today that is alive and well because God reached out to him in mercy at a point where he was ready to take his own life. He had the instrument of death in his house. He was ready to take his life, but God, in his mercy, knocked on his door through those that were sharing the gospel, and that man, by the grace of God, took Jesus Christ as his Savior. I'll tell you, that man has joy today. He's got peace today. He's got hope today because he found Christ. Friend, there's hope for you. That hope is Jesus. Again, the Bible says, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, for such is the kingdom of God. It's shocking to me so many times to see parents pulling their kids away from God. A child just kind of, you know, has a natural ability to believe in God and trust in God and hope in God. But very sadly, many parents are just kind of pulling back and saying, no, I don't want you to have anything to do with God. Why? Because they realize if a child begins to believe in God, they're going to recognize maybe mom and dad ought to be married. They're going to recognize that profanity in the home isn't okay. They're going to recognize that atheism thing, that's just a lie that's made up by the devil. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And so out of that fear, I guess, a parent says, no, you can't have anything to do with God. And they're robbing their children of the gift that God desires to give them of everlasting life because they care more about their pride than they do about their children. Friend, where are some parents that would look at the Word of God and begin to understand the love of God and the mercy of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God and the power of God and would begin to point their kids to the hope that is found in Jesus? Oh, for some parents that would pick up a Bible and say, just be honest, I don't know a lot about the Bible, but I know it has a lot of answers about life. We're just going to read that. And friends, you might say, Ben, I don't know a lot about life. How do I come to faith in God? Let me just encourage you to pick up a Bible, to begin to read the book of John. Begin to read that book that at the end of it, it says that these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing you might have life through his name. Friend, will you let God bring you to faith? Stop making excuses and say, I can't believe in God because I didn't grow up in it or I'm too busy. I'll tell you, you take time for drink, you take time for drugs, you take time for sports, you take time for your entertainment, and you spend hours in front of the television, you take time for your gaming. I just encourage you, take time for God. Don't think, well, I'm too busy. Nobody's too busy to do what they want to do. Friend, it's important. It's important for your kids. It's important for that person that you care about more than any other person. It's important that you find Jesus Christ as your Savior. Friend, the Bible says it's appointed unto man once to die, but after that, the judgment. Nobody gets a do-over at their funeral. Nobody gets to say, I'd really like to go back and have a second opportunity to come to faith in God. Our opportunity to believe in God is here, it is now. And you are not predetermined to unbelief. It is your choice, it is your heart against God. You might honestly say, but man, I really struggle to believe. Okay, I get that. But look around and look at God's creation and understand that the water cycle exists because of God. The circulatory system exists because of God. Life begets life, begets life because of God. And life comes from life. And evolution can't answer the basic question about life. Where does life come from? But God answers it. God answers it in the first verse of the Bible when it says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. Oh, friend, God designed us. God made us. I just encourage you to look up and to understand that there is a creator, designer God, that evolution is not the way that God designed it. God spoke it into existence in a day. The Bible says about God's creation that he created in 6 days. In the seventh day, he rested. You might say to me, well, Ben, what about carbon dating and things like that in the age of the earth? When God created man, how old was he? Well, God created a man. So what did God create? God created with age. When God said, let there be light, it wasn't millions and millions of years until it got there. It got there instantaneously as if it had always been there because God created with age. And so God is the one that made all this. We ought to stop and look at that and say, you know, I'm starting to get that. Because symbiotic relationships, we're interdependent upon, say, for instance, the trees for oxygen, the grass for oxygen. If we didn't have it, we couldn't be here. It didn't just happen. God made it that way. It was all there. Reproduction, male and female, and having life come from that, that's God's plan. God did it with all of nature. We've got different species of animals, species of plants, and God gave male and female, and that reproductive cycle that is created by God and designed by God. Someone explain to me, please, how evolution works without male and female and reproduction. It doesn't. Evolution can't explain it, but God can, because God created it. God designed it. It works exactly as God intends. Those that believe we come from monkeys, just go to the zoo with me, and I'll point at the apes and say, there's your relatives. And you know what? Kids are going to laugh about that. They're going to get a smile on their face. Hey, that's pretty funny. Well, it's pretty funny, but that's what they're teaching in our school, is that we come from apes. And anybody that has any sense about them understands that's a pretty silly thing to be teaching our children. The Bible says, in the beginning, God created the heaven and the earth. And the God that designed it, He gave us a will. He gave us a choice. He didn't make us have to believe in Him. Nobody today has to wear what they're wearing. And if I said to you today, look, you can't wear that, you'd say, who are you to tell me what I can do or not do? I can do what I want to do. That's your will. You exercise that all the time. God did not create robots that had to be bowed down to Him because He made them that way. God gave us a will so that we could choose. You know what? I'm going to love God. I'm going to worship God. And God gave us a choice in that garden. He said, you can eat of every tree that's there, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, thou shalt not eat thereof. The day thou eatest thereof, thou shalt surely die. Man ate of it. Their eyes were open. They knew that they were naked. They hid themselves because they were ashamed of their sin. And God had to confront them in their sin. God had to take an animal, kill an animal, to clothe Adam and Eve, restore them to a right relationship with Him. Friend, that's a picture of the cross. It's a picture of what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, did as He died on the cross for you. He made a way through the naked shame of your sin to be covered by the blood of the Son of God. Why? Because He loves you.
I love you.
God cares about you. The Bible says in John 3:16, for God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. And so many people today passing by, you know what? I probably don't know anybody that is passing this place today, and yet God knows you, and God knows you intimately. God knows the thoughts that you think. The Bible even says that every idle word that men shall speak, they shall give account thereof in the day of judgment. God knows every word that's come out of your mouth. God knows your heartache. God knows the burdens that are in your life. God is reaching out in love. He's saying, look, I can help you, but you have to come to God in His terms. The Bible says, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. Repentance is to change your mind. It's to say, I was thinking this way, and that's really the way I thought, but you know, I'm wrong, and God is right. God, forgive me of thinking wrong, and I choose to think your way. Again, today, our society, individuals need to repent of their sin of atheism. Their sin of rejecting the God that created them. Rejecting the God that designed them. They need to repent of their sin of immorality and fornication and living in sexual sin against a holy God. They need to repent of their sin of homosexuality and lesbianism and lying and covetousness and materialism. All those things are against God, and God's word clearly condemns all the things that are in our life that are against God, disobeying our parents, dishonoring the authority that God has given to us, not honoring God on His day and worshiping God. All these things are sin. And for us to get right with God, we've got to repent of that and say, God, I was thinking wrong. I thought You didn't care about that, or that was no big deal. But I see my sin for what it is, an offense to a holy God. Got to repent of my sin and then look at the cross and understand what Jesus Christ did on that cross was for you. But very sadly, what put Jesus Christ on the cross is the same thing that is in our society today. It's the hatred of God. It's the hatred of Jesus Christ. They hated him so much that they took him, and they took his raiment from him. They took a crown of thorns. They platted it on his head. They plucked out his beard. They spat on him and they punched him. And then they took him and they chained his hands up to the ceiling and his feet to the floor. They took a whip that had 9 sharp strands that were on it. And they whipped the back of the Lord Jesus Christ, ripping the flesh off of his torso. Then they put an old cross beam upon the back of the Lord Jesus Christ and demanded he carry it to the place of crucifixion outside the city walls of Jerusalem. And there in that place called Golgotha, they took the hands of the Lord Jesus Christ and they nailed them to the beams. They took his feet and they nailed them to the center beam of the cross, and they took that cross, they lifted it up in the air, they dropped it down into the hole that was in the ground, and all the bones of the Lord Jesus Christ were pulled out of joints, and they mocked him there, and they cursed him. And they said, if you be who you say you are, come down from the cross, and we'll believe in you. But Jesus Christ stayed on the cross. You might wonder today, well, if he's God, why couldn't he get off the cross? You know what held Jesus Christ on the cross? It was not the nails or the crowd that was there. It was that Jesus Christ loved you so much, he stayed on the cross to pay the price for your sin. It's called judicial forgiveness. A lot of religions teach, if you're a good person, you say to your God that you believe in, I'm sorry, that God forgives you, and yet God cannot forgive sin without sin being punished and paid for. That's why he died. That's why Jesus Christ went to the cross. He went to the cross to pay the price for your sin. The Bible says, while we are yet sinners, Christ died for us. Scarcely for a righteous man would one die. And I praise God for men that will jump on the body of the president there and try to save his life by maybe taking a bullet themselves. And we all saw that there in the videos that have been going on online. And I applaud that kind of courage, that somebody would get in the way of harm and try to save somebody's life. But would you do that for somebody that's ungodly? Would you do that for somebody that's wicked? Or would you only do that for somebody that you care about? Most people would only do that for somebody they care about. But I'll tell you this, Jesus Christ did it for the ungodly. Jesus Christ did it for those that spat upon him, those that crucified him, those that mocked him. Jesus Christ, as he died on the cross, he died for all of them. In fact, on the cross, he said these words. He said, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. He pled for mercy. I believe this, if he hadn't cried out for mercy, that God would have destroyed those people. They took his son, his holy son, they crucified him. But it was God's plan. The Bible says it pleased the Father to bruise him. God took his son as a sacrifice, put him on the cross for our sins so that we could be forgiven, so that God made a way judicially for us to have our hearts cleansed, not by our righteousness, because our righteousness does nothing to get rid of our unrighteousness, but because the blood of Jesus Christ has the power to cleanse us from our sin. Friend, have you been forgiven by God? You don't know what it is today to have your sin forgiven, to have the mercy of God, the grace of God, the forgiveness of God, the love of God. God does not want you today to die and to go to hell. God does not want you to perish. God does not want you to be cast into a Christless eternity. God desires to give you his gift of everlasting life. Friend, it doesn't matter where you're at today. Oh, God's a merciful God. God is a gracious God. God is a good God. Well, friend, do you know the love of God today? Do you know the mercy of God? Do you know what it means when the Bible says, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly of heart, and ye shall find rest for your soul. There's not peace in a bottle. There's not peace in drugs. There's not peace in immorality. There's not peace in gambling. But I'll tell you this today. There's disease. There is heartache. There is corruption. There is breaking down of relationships. There is indebtedness in those things. But I'll tell you, in the perfect Lord Jesus Christ, there is salvation. There is hope. There is peace. There is satisfaction. There is joy. Well, friend, do you know that God today? Jesus Christ, one of his titles is the Prince of Peace. Do you know Jesus Christ in your heart, giving you hope, giving you grace, giving you strength, not from the outside in, thinking like, I'm going to reform myself and I'm going to change my life, but from the inside out. Father, I pray for the grace of God again for this nation. Oh, Father, in your mercy, I pray for an awakening in the hearts of the Scottish people. Father, in the hearts of any people that come to this nation, setting up their life and their livelihood, I pray, oh God, for the mercy of God again on these streets, for people that would testify that the God of the gospel has saved them and brought them to hope and to life and to peace from a godliness. Oh God, would you do it for your glory? It's in Christ's name we pray. Amen.